Welcome back to the Crown After Buzz After Show, episodes 7 and 8. Scientitia, Potentia Est, and Pride and Joy. Stay tuned.
You're tuning into the destination for TV superfan discussion, After Buzz TV. And now, let the buzz begin.
See, this was the most appropriate song I could think of. Definitely. For the episodes.
It gives us the energy that these episodes
We don't need no education, considering episode 7 is all about the education.
Definitely.
And it puts a lot of things into perspective for Queen Elizabeth and her education status.
Or lack thereof.
Well, it's just an interesting concept, you know? Because we don't see that lack in the episode. And then, of course, episode 8, which was a whole different direction.
Loved it.
Next thing you know, we see the women of George VI all go at it. Mom and the two daughters. Mm-hmm. So that's what it is. The crown is getting heated and hot. And episode 7 might be my favorite one to date.
I loved both of them. So the energy that I got from both of them, the strength that I saw from all of the women, it really made me feel like they found their footing in episode 7 and 8.
Well, that's great because I love both of you, except Angela's not here. I am Angela today.
We miss you.
You can call me Angela, but I prefer Tehran. I am Tehran at I am Tehran all across social media, IG, tweet, gram, whatever you want to find me on, I'm there. And of course, I'm alongside.
Say hi. Hi, everyone. You can find me on Instagram, Twitter, and occasionally Snapchat at Say Hi Sahai. That's T-S-A-H-A-I.
And make sure you stop by and say hi, because your Snapchat and Instagram and stuff is just very interesting.
You know, I love to hear from,
live through you.
You know, I love to hear from the people. I'm a people's person.
From the people?
From the people.
You're the people's champ?
Yes, just like the queen. You know?
Like the queen? I don't know. I think Margaret might be the people's champ, because that personality that she brought in episode 8 might be the reason why we love the personalities of the royals. I don't know if royals had personalities before Margaret, so it's an interesting concept.
But then her sister had to put her in her place and say, okay, listen, there's a reason that I act the way I act and the way you need to.
Yeah, we gotta get to there.
This is the crown.
We're learning more about the monarchy than I've ever learned in my life. But let's start with episode 7, which was Scientitia Potentia Est, the episode in which we learned that Queen Elizabeth's education status isn't what we would expect for a queen's education status to be. I would have thought that the queen has gone through, like, I just assume queens have PhDs and all degrees.
That's what I thought.
But they don't. They only taught her basically all the articles of the Constitution and dignitaries and things of how to act dignified.
How to ride horses, how to hold her plate and knife and fork correctly.
How to care about puppies.
Exactly.
Like, just random things that, but I mean, it's interesting because it's things that we would never expect. We would never expect a queen to have to learn, but clearly that's why they're so good at being the queen. There is an entire education dedicated to queenliness.
Exactly. I mean, it's a full-time job. So, but the fact that she recognized that there was a lack in her education and that she wanted to repair that, I thought that was really respectable. And I really, you know, because think about it, if she was the first to say, hey, there's a problem here, that means all the other queens were okay with that.
It is. It is something. And it's actually a part of her education reform as she goes through being the monarch of England. And we see that the royals after her all do get their education. Clearly, like William and Harry all went to college and all these things. Things that I guess wouldn't have happened without her influence, which is a very interesting concept. But we do start off the episode with her being a little girl, watching the planes fly overhead in a post-war England, right? We see, like, the war is still very real at this time. And we see that she is being spoken to in French, which I didn't know the queen spoke French, which... Queen of England, why would she speak French? Because she's the queen.
You never know when you're going to need some French. You never know when you're going to meet a French dignitary or go to France and have to communicate with the people. I love that flexibility that she had.
And of course, England and France have a long history, of course. Right. They're being neighbors. And French is the language of the aristocracy.
Right.
French itself is the language of the aristocracy. But I just never knew. I never knew Queen Elizabeth spoke French. Like, modern
French,
she doesn't flex it as far as I know. But that's what I said. Like, most of us are watching the show, especially in the United States, and we're learning way more about the monarchy than
very
we ever
much
knew.
So
we see that that she is being taught things that she doesn't really feel like. She even questions it as a young girl. She questions and says, are the other kids learning the same thing from the provost, from the vice provost? And the vice provost says, no, they're learning. And he shows them, like, and it's like, this is undignified stuff. And it's like math and English.
Yeah,
and
you don't need this at all.
You don't need this.
Focus on the stuff that we're going
to
show you.
Exactly. And she learns basically how to be the image of a monarch without the depth.
Right.
Because the monarch, in my opinion, does need to have an educational basis to understand what is going on in the world and the world, especially around her.
Exactly. But also, it's like, how are you expected to make these huge decisions that are going to affect everyone in your country without knowing what's going on, without knowing the backstory? And that's why I love the way episode 7 played out with her seeing, hey, I need to know more than just how to ride a horse or how to shake someone's hand or how to receive guests. I need to know what their backstory is. So I love the fact that she was reading books
about President Eisenhower, because he was supposed to come visit.
Exactly. And it made her more comfortable. And you saw her grow from that and become strong. But when, you know, that trip got canceled, she was a bit relieved.
She was relieved because she, and this is what we see in the past episodes, is why she feels so out of place and intimidated by the visiting politicians, and especially Winston Churchill.
Right.
We see this now is because she didn't fully feel like she understood what was going on. She was just doing what was expected of her and asked of her and not meeting her full expectations. Something that I kind of see the growth by the end of this episode. But before we get to all that,
we see a lot of growth, especially Prince Philip was growing at the end.
Oh my gosh. That's a whole separate.
Getting to the
education aspect of it, right? We see that she is taught, as you said, how to eat properly.
Correct.
How to speak to the person at the table correctly. There's so many rules and regulations to being a queen. That itself is a full-time education.
And I will admit, I would love to know those things. I feel like they come in handy during a business meeting. You never know when, you know, just your etiquette and the way you receive people will help you get a job or just help you in any social setting. I think it's something that I would love to know more of, that kind of stuff.
Well, they do say that queenliness is next to godliness.
I mean, I
they don't,
like I,
but they
I'm
say cleanliness,
clean.
But I'm saying queenliness.
Hey,
like
both of
I
them.
Just I made like a little pun because I feel like she is the representation of God on earth, especially when it comes to this situation, the monarchy.
Definitely.
It's as if they are ordained by God. So
well,
that's how
what
it feels.
Winston continues to instill in her, like, listen, understand this is the role that we've bestowed upon you. And so we see her continuously just being reminded of that and adjusting to that and kind of like getting comfortable with her cloak as you are comfortable in your robe.
Well, I thank you for that.
You're
but
welcome.
I feel like something we also learned is that King George, her father, wasn't that educated either.
Right.
And that he also did the same thing and felt the same way, because we hear that from Queen Mother when she brings it up. She says, well, that's what your father did.
Right. And I was really surprised about that. As a mother, wouldn't you want to encourage your daughter to grow and do better than you did? But she seemed to be very comfortable with her position. And later on, we see that she is actually going through some difficulties in the changes that have occurred.
In episode 8. But back to episode 7, what we're seeing is that the Queen Mother also doesn't know much, because when she's reading the newspaper about Einstein, she's like, Einstein changed his mind again, but I don't really understand what it's about.
Right.
And we see that, hey, this isn't just relegated to Queen Elizabeth. This is something that goes on with all the monarchs, something that I found extremely interesting. It's something I didn't
know. And then
I
think it also spoke to the division of power between men and women. It's like the women had to play their position. You only know about girly, pretty things, and you don't need to know about the difficult, you know,
I actually
stuff.
Disagree with you, because King George didn't know about those things either.
I know,
either.
But here
so
it is. We had the mother,
was,
we had the queen mother, Queen Elizabeth, and Margaret in this scenario. That's
but
what we're
only
seeing.
Seeing them. But from what we hear and understand, the king wasn't too far off. And that's what I thought was actually interesting, is because at first I thought it was because Elizabeth was a girl that she wasn't learning anything. But it's not. It's because she is a monarch and she is the next to rule, and that's why.
But when the men later on decide to withhold information from her, it's because they think that she can't handle it because she's a woman. So I do feel like the fact that she is a woman does play a part in some of the decisions that some of the government officials were making.
Disagree
on
with
her
you.
Behalf.
I disagree with you. I don't think it had to do with her being a woman. It had a lot to do with her position on the health of the people who led in Winston Churchill's selfishness. So let's examine some Winston Churchill aspects. In this episode, we find out Winston Churchill is somehow still alive. I mean, this guy at this point is like 400 years old.
Yeah,
I don't even understand.
He's like a cat. He has like 9 lives.
He's been around. He's lived it. And he's still in charge and running the country, right?
Very much so.
He's running the country as the political head and prime minister. And what happens is he has a stroke. The first one's a mini stroke. And the queen is told that he just had a simple cold and
right.
wasn't able to attend meetings, which when he misses two, the queen says that's unlike Winston.
Right.
So then he has another major stroke when he finds out that upon his manipulation, President Eisenhower would visit England.
Right.
And that was at the request. He had the Queen invite them to Buckingham Palace. And that was like, oh, then he would have to come. He did. He accepted the invitation. He has another stroke. It's a major stroke. And they still hide it from the Queen.
Right.
I don't think it's because she's a woman. I think it's because her position was, I want someone healthy running stuff. And Winston knew he would have to step down had she known he had a stroke. I think he would have done the same thing for King George.
I just feel like the government, the other government officials, maybe not Winston so much, but everyone else felt like she's a little lady. She's still a young girl. We kind of have to, you know, play with her with kid gloves. And they really didn't feel like she could handle that information. And when she gave them a tongue lashing, that's when I was like, okay, Elizabeth, you done bossed up. I respect that. And I really like seeing that part.
Sure. At the end, we do see a growth in Elizabeth. But when it comes to Winston Churchill, do you think he did the wrong thing by hiding a stroke?
I do, because he didn't give her the opportunity to handle a conflict and make her own decision about it. It's kind of like they made the decision for her. And
what
then
decision
she had to
does
react.
She need to make? She is a political figure. She is not actually the political head.
But she did end up having to kind of make a decision in what she wanted, how she wanted to proceed after she found out. And also it was an opportunity for them to build trust with Elizabeth, and they chose not to. They broke her trust, and it's still the beginning of this budding relationship. So I think it was, I didn't like the fact that he withheld it from her.
I don't think it's budding. It's been for a while. Like, we're jumping, like, we're in time
in
frame
times of the episode, I should say.
Sure. But when it comes to Elizabeth, I think that we saw, for example, earlier this year when Hillary Clinton had a fainting spell, that it was hidden from us what right. the actual situation was, because they don't want to show weakness, not only to the people, but not having the Queen's blessing or backing would actually hinder Winston Churchill's position, especially amongst his peers.
Definitely.
And the government, so in the parliament. So why would he not hold that information? It's not like Queen Elizabeth is making policy. What she is doing is backing up policy.
Right.
And she even says that in the tongue lashing, where she explains that it's not my position to make the rules, but I do follow the rules. And
exactly.
I have to watch those rules. And this is one of the things. I think Winston Churchill was being more selfish than he was being a misogynist.
Definitely. And he didn't want him to seem weak himself. I think he maybe put it on her, possibly, and when in fact he didn't want to seem weak to his peers, because again, you know, they were pushing him out the door by this time, even though he kept on, you know, dying and coming back to life. But you know, he wanted them to know, like, listen, I can still do this. I'm in my sick bed and I'm still here at work.
And we see a lot of this. I feel like I see a lot of this, especially with the male ego. His ego wouldn't let him set out.
Exactly.
It wouldn't. He felt like he is the father. He said that several times. I'm the father of this country. Like,
right.
I am modern England. I am modern day England. He has successfully led them out of, like, basically two wars and famine and God knows who else, right?
Yeah.
And what else? So basically, Winston Churchill doesn't want to give up his position of power.
Right.
Who would want to? No one. There's a lot of people. There are some people who are like so ready to retire, but there are few. There are people, especially people in positions of power, CEOs. We see this a lot, who don't want to give up, and they don't want to let go. Hugh Hefner.
But look, you know, a lot of times it's like the job is keeping him alive. So once he stops the job, then he probably would slowly die inside, you know, because he's so used to just that routine every day. But what I also loved about this episode is when Elizabeth has to choose between who's her next secretary is going to be, or I'm sorry, maybe not secretary, but the gentleman who's going to advise her. And she wanted Martin, our guy that we saw in the previous
Martin
episode.
Martin Dean versus, who's the other guy?
Martin versus Michael Dean.
Is it Martin?
She got Martin. She wanted Martin.
She wanted Michael Adine.
No, she wanted
she
Martin.
She wanted Martin.
Yeah, but she got Michael Adine.
She got Michael.
Yeah.
Yeah, because Martin's the young one who
exactly.
she has a connection with, and Michael is the older one who's supposed to take the place of Tommy.
Right, exactly. And he's been trained for this role.
The senior one has been trained for the role to take the place.
Exactly.
And the junior one hasn't.
Exactly. And then also Martin messed himself up, because here it is, they were about to give him the position and his wife decides she's going to start making changes before even moving into the house. Now, girl, that's not how things are done. And Tommy, again, behind Elizabeth's back, has to let them know, listen, there's a way we do things here. And, you know, he enforced that even though Elizabeth wanted something else, which I found really interesting.
Well, what I found interesting is that once again, we see that a woman is the reason why things fall apart. And that kind of happens. I'm sorry. I've watched it with Edward. I've watched it. Like, this is what I keep saying as a common theme in these situations. She pushes for power that he's just happy to even be in the mix.
Right.
She pushes, like, we could have waited for the tree. Had the tree not, that wouldn't have been a sign. It wouldn't have continued. I mean, listen, Michael was going to bring it up anyway.
Yeah.
The senior guy was going to bring it up anyway. Of course. He's going to, because he heard it. And look how it got back. But once again, how did it get back to his ears? Is that the wife had said something to another wife who had said something to another wife who said something. And it was like,
the streets and were Tommy talking.
Was like, how would I know this? Like,
exactly.
Why would I know these people? But the streets were talking. And that's how it got back to Tommy to begin with. And now we see that Tommy's in the precarious position of going behind the queen's back and doing what is traditionally right.
But, you know, that's, we had several standoffs in this episode. We had Elizabeth standing off to the other government officials, and then she had another standoff with Tommy in this episode. So we see her constantly having to, like, fight her way to let people know, this is what I want. So it was interesting to see Tommy say, okay, sure, yeah, it's your decision. But in the end, he went and did what he wanted to do.
Of course, but that's what Tommy's position is.
Right.
Tommy's position is to do the dirty work that the queen or the king can't be seen doing, or doing what's best in their best interest of the monarchy, right, not specifically the person.
Exactly.
And he gave a great speech when he explained that this is indicative. These kind of things are indicative of what happened with Edward, the abdication. You start off, it was like little things, like when Edward decided he was going to live at York and not at Buckingham,
right,
and use Buckingham as an office. And then he went on, and then he was like, and then next thing you knew, boom, no one could have foreseen the abdication, but it happened.
Right. It was like a crack in the foundation.
Exactly.
And he was like, okay, we can't just like put some, you know, paint over this to make it look better. We have to nip this in the bud. And Tommy is the best at nipping it in the bud.
And that's what it is. Even in law, you know, with law school, we find it's the slippery slope. That's
right.
Why it's the cracked window theory. You want to know where crime comes from. If there's a broken window and it doesn't get fixed, there will be a murder. And that's
okay.
it's indicative. It's all from the same, as he said, like the root and the foundation.
Right.
And he was very adamant about it.
So it was like the root of the tree.
Exactly.
That got cut. Aha.
Uh-huh. See, that's how it works. And it's the same tree that was getting cut outside his window. Cause he was like, wait, I still live here.
Exactly.
I still live here. Let's check. Why are they? Cause he even looked at the tree like, why are they cutting that tree? I've never said anything.
And it made me question Martin, because I'm like, dude, okay, I understand you want to listen to your wife, but you're the one that works there. You can't have her making decisions. You know,
that's
the
not
protocol.
How it works. You married?
I mean, I'm not married. Are you?
I'm not married, but I've definitely, here's the thing. Have you ever dated a girl?
No, I haven't.
A woman?
No.
Ever been married to a woman?
No.
Every husband out there knows exactly how Martin felt. Like, none of us question why Martin, because that there's nothing more powerful than a nagging woman. There's nothing.
Nothing.
It will get us to take out the garbage. It will take us and get us to take out the garbage and buy a house and get a job we don't want and do a lot of things. Like, there's nothing more powerful than that. And you could see in the car that she was going to be that wife. Like, she was power hungry.
She was so excited.
She was
That's
so
why
ready.
I was like, girl, don't you like at least get in there first and then start making the changes? But she jumped the gun and she felt the repercussions.
It's so interesting because in Farsi, we actually have a saying where it sounds very silly if you say it in English,
right,
where if a mouse can't go into the hole, he doesn't fit in the hole, but he like tied a broom to his tail.
Right.
Meaning like he's not even in there yet,
yeah,
but he's already trying to do extra.
Exactly.
Like, you're doing the most.
She was,
and
doing,
she
too
was
much.
Doing the most.
Yeah.
Like, she wanted the
I
most.
I didn't like her.
And the tree thing. Well, that's the thing. We also find that a lot of the women in these series aren't very likable. And we'll find out a lot more about that going to see episode 8. But still in episode 7, you mentioned a great thing when you said there were a lot of standoffs.
Yeah.
We see several standoffs. First, the standoff that I saw first was between Elizabeth and her teacher, the professor.
Right.
Who she was promptly told, hey, this is what monarchs learn. Okay. The second one was between...
Well, professor number one, because we later see another...
Yeah, the tutor. That's right. Different. But
mm-hmm.
The professor, the vice provost
mm-hmm.
of the college, like, he just basically goes, hey, this is what happens.
Right.
Okay. And it was really cute to watch all these proper English kids running around going to class and her just standing there confused to see what
I
was
going on.
I thought
she was also looking at all the boys, because I don't think she got an opportunity to see all those, you know, other children like that.
I was hoping it was just children in general and not just because they were boys.
Maybe.
Then
maybe I'm wrong. Maybe I'm not.
But then again, we see that at the end of this episode, Elizabeth is a little bit of a freak. So,
well, that's what I love about this show, because we're getting to see that not only are they, you know, these powerful figures, but they're also people that are human and want to love and touch, and they're sexual people, and we get to see
that.
They're
real people.
And that breaks down the fake hate that we've been seeing for so many years.
So we see that's a standoff. We also see the standoff between Elizabeth and Tommy, and that was a major standoff, because one thing Elizabeth did, you knew how mad she was, because she left the room with Martin and went and opened the door herself.
Yes.
I had never seen her open the door. In fact, I was looking at how many servants and thinking to myself, how much money does it cost to run Buckingham Palace? Because the amount of servants and even when they were setting up the place for Eisenhower
for that party, it looked beautiful and amazing.
And then they had to take it all down, and it was just crazy to watch the amount of people that must add up.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, I loved seeing that, because I love to see how they prepare for those types of events and the effort that went into that. It wasn't just like, hey, somebody's going to come over, let's bring out the good paper plates. They were like measuring the distance between the plates and the flowers and a lot. So when he said when they told him not to come anymore and that all had to be torn down, it kind of hurt me a little bit. I felt bad for them.
And then we see the standoff between, and this was the big one, the standoff between Elizabeth and the political figures, right? Yeah. So Churchill comes in, the other guy comes in, what's his name? The other old guy?
Oh, the one that was in the hospital in America?
No, he didn't come in. It was the other guy.
The older guy. I don't remember his name.
Who knows their names, right?
Stuff on YouTube.
Here's the thing. I'm sure in the chat, people are going to be like, this guy.
Yeah.
So they come by, and she gives them a tongue lashing, as you eloquently stated. She explains to them, especially Churchill. She puts Churchill,
He was about to have a third stroke.
He was like, she put him in his place.
But I think he liked it too. He was like, that's my girl.
And that's what, you know, her teacher said, is that why can't you just give them a tongue lashing? That's actually what English men want, because that's what they find as love.
And that's how
nannies.
They were raised, exactly, and which I found interesting.
It is interesting to me, because I feel like when I think of like leather, leather and paddles and all I think of English people. Like that S&M.
Like S&M?
S&M and all that. I think of English people. I do. I'm not the only one that thinks English guys love the dungeon and love being spanked and all that stuff. And maybe this is a psychological root of where it's come from. All these prim and proper Englishmen have been caught up through the years through controversy because of things like this. And boom, this is maybe why. Because they did find it somehow arousing in a way.
Definitely. I have this theory that powerful men who are so uptight or supposedly law-abiding behind closed doors when it comes to sex, that's where they release. And I think that's where they let loose. And that's why they don't want people to see it, because they are actually into some really kinky stuff.
That's interesting, because I personally am not like that at all. Like, I'm not. I feel like I like to be the alpha. I'm in charge of stuff. I'm telling you right now.
You got a robe on.
Like
this
it.
Is basically like a costume.
This is
know?
Actually me being chill all the time because I am not chill all the time. Like,
okay.
I don't like it if a girl is overly aggressive. So I wouldn't have liked that tongue lashing in that manner.
Right.
But I might have liked the one that Philip got at the end of the episode.
Philip got a lot.
And that's the last standoff. The last standoff is between her and her husband, because she walks in a lot more jovial, looking at her kids, wondering where Philip was, because we didn't see Philip the whole episode until the very end.
But what I find funny is that every time we see Philip in 7 and 8, he's complaining. Philip is always complaining about something. So I guess she had to give him a little something to calm his nerves.
I don't know if he was complaining as much in episode 7 as he was in episode 8. I think he was just aloof and just being, like, he's just, you know, kind
but
of over it.
Let's get back to when Philip made his request. What did you think when he said that
I thought
to her?
That's his wife. I mean, that's when she's no longer the queen.
That's her job?
That's what she's, like, yo, at the end of the day, she's still his wife. She's still his woman. And the way he said it was actually kind of popping. Like, there was a lot of sexual tension, like, the way he said, like, I can't go up there, so maybe you should come get down on your knees.
I was like, oh, clutch the pearls.
You're saying that to the queen.
Excuse me.
And she did actually clutch the pearls in this episode.
But she smiled
earlier
surprisingly.
On. on. Not at this part, but she clutched her pearls when she found out from Colville, and she was getting an education on things, and she was actually physically clutching her pearls.
Yeah, it was like her nervous energy.
Exactly.
What did you think about her relationship with the tutor? I found that very interesting because it was someone she like hand selected, and she had this rapport with him. And I read that it was a fictitious character. There wasn't actually a tutor of this nature, but in this episode, because I feel like we have to remind people we're commenting on the episode.
It's the show. It's not a history show.
Exactly.
We're watching on the show because some people on the comments are like, well, historically.
And we love you people who comment. We
appreciate it. I do not like the people who comment.
I appreciate you commenters. Thank you so much.
Well, actually, like, yo, you know what? It's a show, guys. You can appreciate everyone. You can be nice. I'm going to be real. You know what I'm saying? Like, historically, great. Buddy, but look, we're watching this show and I'm learning and I'm loving this show, and it's about what's going on in this show.
Right.
And in this show, we do have a tutor, and I was going to get to the relationships because we have two relationships to examine mm-hmm. in this episode. Okay. Actually, we have a total of four, but the other two I was going to lump into the standoff. So we see the relationship between Queen Elizabeth and Winston Churchill.
Right.
Who I feel like in this one, more than ever, I felt like Winston Churchill had been a father figure to Queen Elizabeth. And now it's like the student has surpassed the teacher.
Uh-huh.
Right? Because she put both of them in their place quickly, promptly. And before they even said it, it was like, don't speak to me in the manner of my age and my gender, but to the respect of the crown and right. position that I hold.
Right.
And it was amazing to watch her become a queen.
And
this is the episode I felt like she became the queen.
Definitely. She also let Winston know, listen, you can trust me. You can, if you're not around, I have your back. I can handle this now. So don't be afraid to let me know things because I've got this.
And Winston came off as a proud father when he said, you know what? Maybe it's time for me to step aside, not because of what you said to me, but because now I do find that you're actually properly adequate to be this queen and fulfill this role.
Definitely.
Then the other relationship is the relationship between her and Colville, because she brings Colville back, who was her, you know, assistant before in the past.
Right.
And he's keeping the secret. And he was the weakest one keeping the secret, by the way. He was the weakest one keeping the secret. And he brings him back and goes, and that's how she finds out. She's slick about it, too, because she lets him drop a lot of information and then goes, you know what? That's not even why I brought you.
They say never ask a question that you already don't know the answer to. So I think she had some kind of...
She did not. I do not think she knew.
You know,
she really only
I
brought
think she
him.
She kind of knew something was off.
I because don't think the fact so. That she looked
said,
shocked.
She, but the fact that she said, listen, Winston hasn't come twice back
yeah,
to back.
Yeah, but she didn't
like,
say it. She's like,
strange.
Oh, it's uncommon. But I'm telling you, I don't
think
feel
she was
like
too
she
busy worried
anything.
About about Eisenhower's visit to really let that show much.
Yeah, I don't think she knew because she acted like she was surprised. She even turned around like that girl thing was. Oh, now I need to know more. Like
what
guys, like
thing?
It's a girl thing. When girls want to know more, they're slick about it. Guys aren't smart. They aren't smart. We don't ask smart questions.
Well,
like
I agree.
That.
Guys aren't smart.
So then Colville drops the knowledge, and then she's like, that's when she starts plotting to get them back. Then there is the relationship between her and her tutor, which I thought was really cute because she was like a little girl again, and she was talking to him, and he was like more than just a tutor. He was like her philosophical advisor
exactly.
and spiritual animal.
And I love when the royals animal. Interact with people that are not royal. I like to see how it's, I feel like they are allowed to let their guard down when they interact with people that aren't royal. They're like, okay, now I can be myself. Hey, let's talk, you know, one-on-one.
And it wasn't easy for her to, you know, admit that she didn't know as much as she would like. And she really didn't know much. And it was just like, she was actually grasping and just trying to figure out like, wow, I really don't know anything. I need to know more
about current events and things of that nature, because the things that she did know were helpful in some situations, but not in this new realm that she was walking into.
And we see that when they're interacting and they're talking, and then she's like, oh, you bet on this horse because of this trainer in this stable, because that's what she knows.
Exactly.
And he's like, no, I didn't even know anything, I just liked
his
name.
And it showed you like things that she does know are valuable as well.
And so it's actually not valuable. That's what I thought. It's like it's not a valuable piece
no,
of information. It
I
doesn't
remember
matter.
It is valuable in a certain setting. I remember reading a book about Russell Simmons, and he said he used to bring his wife Kimora to business meetings because she was charming, personable, and she, you know, knew all these different languages. She was
about
an asset.
Different things but she's actually knowledgeable a lot of things. She wasn't knowledgeable about basically nothingness. The only piece of knowledge that I felt that Queen Elizabeth put to good use was her old constitution that she went and had dug up and then was able to use that knowledge. And she was like on it and she did use it. And the last relationship that I wanted to examine is the one between her and her husband. Because not only do we see them being sexual with one another, but we also see that they haven't interacted with one another a lot. Like, it felt like they hadn't seen each other in weeks, maybe months. Like, it was just like... Right. Real like, hey, where have you been?
And again, did we even see the kids in this episode? I think
outside.
Briefly.
They were outside. They and were outside playing.
Right. But she's always looking from the outside in on them. I still have not seen her hold the kids, play with the kids. It's always Philip playing and with the kids.
There was one more relationship that you just remind me of is the one between her and her mother. And the mother actually brings that up and goes, because she took something personal.
Right.
She took it personal when Queen Elizabeth said, oh, why didn't you push for more education? She's like, whoa, you're judging me as a mom? What about you as a mom? You haven't spent any time with your kids.
Right.
You know, I've never seen you with your kids.
And moms tend to do that. You try to point something out, and next thing they're saying, oh, so, you know, you know more than I do.
Exactly.
It's like a mom never wants their daughter to challenge them.
And so we jump to episode 8, where we now see that the mother, who was one of the most unlikable characters as far as I was concerned, all of a sudden became the most likable and like, I was like the most sympathetic towards her. Like, we saw her and felt admonished for her. And we see the division between the three women of King George, because now we're looking at what he's left as his remnants and his legacy. Mm-hmm. His daughter, Elizabeth, who's now the queen, Margaret, who felt kind of useless and they've had a strained relationship. And now we see, and he labeled them Queen Elizabeth the Pride and Margaret his Joy, because she is full of life, and we see her being full of life as she's comedic and funny. And
but that didn't play well with Elizabeth. She did not like that. And I think Margaret was just being a spoiled brat a lot of the times. I mean, I think it was her
she's
jealousy.
Very bougie.
Yeah, it was just her jealousy.
She loves being rich.
And
she does.
She was being spoiled. She was I understand she missed her boyfriend, and you know, she wanted the attention for herself, and she said that the people loved them, but I wish she would have kind of gotten on board and understood where her sister was coming from. And I think we actually saw jealousy on both sides.
Well, I think they're both jealous of each other, because at the end they are going back and forth and they're bringing up personal stories. And at least Margaret tries to get back to the root cause of it and like tries to examine it. But Elizabeth is the one who's being cold. And honestly, Elizabeth to me has resting bitch face a lot of times.
But you don't think that's because she's like, I know she's going to mess this up. I know how she is.
But
she always
does
this.
When you do that, that's not productive. And for a woman who is the queen and is in productive in every other aspect of her life, she has this like slight animosity towards Margaret that she's had since she was a kid.
She had a lot on her mind. She was about to go on this tour. It was already stressful. She, you know, was going to these places she had never been before. And also with everyone was making mention of that you need to do this so these countries, these islands know that we are still in power.
She did something like, she went on a tour of all the countries that are and islands that are part of at that time very much part of the English Empire, and she went on something like 57 cities in 58 days,
right,
which was crazy. And then the wardrobe was outrageous.
100
she had
dresses
to take everything like 36 hats
it
you know
was
what I'm
amazing
saying? She had to take
like,
a lot
girl,
of stuff.
Can I borrow one of those?
But in her defense, she was gone for a long time. The one thing we do see in this one with Margaret, first of all, she didn't like the comedic stuff. She didn't like Margaret's shine. She was upset at Margaret about it. And they got into an argument over it. But we saw Queen Mother also feel a certain
Queen
way. And
Mother,
then
like she lost her footing. Like
she became pointless.
Yeah. Well, she felt like she lost her purpose. And I didn't realize that in this episode, in episode 8, is when I really saw that she was a mother that but also she missed being a queen, which was really interesting. She lost her home.
She lost everything.
Had to go find herself. She did a little bit of a eat, pray, love moment.
Yeah,
and went
she
to
went
Scotland.
To Scotland and bought a castle, which of course, when you're rich like that, you just can do.
That's
like,
what just happens.
I wish
all the time.
I can get upset and just go buy castles.
You know what? You can.
No,
I
cannot.
Within
not
your power.
With my
I
credit
you.
Score. So listen, this is what's going on. So when Queen Mother leaves, I'd never really liked her before.
No,
like
neither
I liked how sneaky she was, but I don't think they made her likable. I liked her just because no one else liked her. But in this episode, they made her more human than ever.
Very much so.
She's just a regular woman.
Yeah.
Now I'm useless. Like, all these years I've been queen. I know way more than you do. And then you, like, just some kid
but it's
queen.
Also we're seeing a woman in mourning. Like, she lost her husband. Like, she, no matter what we say about her, Queen Mother loved King George, yeah. and she
couldn't, and she respected was still, and admired him.
Yeah, and she was still, but also she was his right hand woman. She helped him with the stutter. She helped him so much. So the fact that you know he was kind of
yeah,
her
but we
job.
Don't see that. You only know that because you watched the
but
movie.
But they mentioned it in the beginning, yeah. in the first episodes. But so she lost someone, not only her husband, her best friend. She also lost the person that you know. Gave her purpose for waking up every morning. And then, you know, now
you're putting a lot of emphasis on the
slut. But because she was so sad.
She
and
is very
she
sad.
She even at that dinner table with her friends, you know, many British people don't show, the royals don't show emotion. She kind of had a breakdown at the dinner emotion, table yeah. and they made me uncomfortable. I was like, oh, what are we going to do
exactly.
now?
Exactly. I'm glad she went. But then she comes back and then she's recalled back and she comes back. But we also see...
But she comes back begrudgingly. Like
yeah, she doesn't want to come back.
She doesn't want to come back.
She's great
she's
where
like,
she is.
What do you
what
need
do you guys want? Yeah,
right.
She comes back. But then we also see that Philip and Elizabeth are not getting along on this trip.
Yeah.
Philip, like... I
complaining
feel like, you
want to
talk about a brat? Philip's a brat.
He was complaining so much, I couldn't take him.
He doesn't like
He was like
being
a Debbie Downer
figure.
The whole
Big
trip.
Big time. Negative Nancy the whole way. Complaining, and then something happens where the like the paparazzi, the journalists, I'm
Ooh.
So sorry, but they catch it on film. But something that would never happen today, they delete the footage for them.
Get, like they did, would he, never, did he give it to her? I thought he pulled it out and like he hands it.
But they had to, or we don't know if they had to destroy it.
True.
But I'm saying that would never happen.
Not at all.
Now,
not at
there's
all.
Never. I mean, there's. No, I'm sure there's no delete. They can't delete.
They probably
like
scratched out the film.
Yeah,
or,
I don't
like,
know what they did, or
it.
They kept it, or you know whatever they do. But I'm assuming that they destroyed it.
But do you notice
to have proof
how
of that spat?
When Elizabeth and Philip were fighting, she was all disheveled, and then when she went out to speak to those,
she
cameras,
was on point.
She had that red lipstick on. She put on that rouge. She was like, "I am here for business." What?
Of
what
course
would you like
she
me
was,
to do?
And that was when I said last episode, in episode 7, she became a queen. This is the episode where I saw. That speech with Tommy was like, this is tradition. We need you to be on point. Like,
right.
this isn't about you. It's more. I saw her because she even got injections so she could still smile.
Right.
She was like, she said, no matter what, this is what happens. She didn't even clear things up with Philip. She just went on like the show must go on.
And it reminded me of an athlete who still plays in the game even when they're injured. That's what Elizabeth did.
That's,
she was like, she got that shot. She was like, okay, we're about to
the cortisone. Like, let's go.
Exactly.
Fourth quarter. It's more than 10. I got this.
We are almost done. My sister's out here acting a fool, embarrassing
me. Yeah,
she
was not happy about that at all.
You know, I have to finish this commitment that I made. But it also speaks to the respect that people had for her because that camera man did not have to give her that footage, but because he respected her. And had she been the jovial person like her sister was acting like, maybe they wouldn't have, you know, understood the weight of the responsibility
because
that
she was
had.
So proper, because they did not do that with the sister. They've blatantly, you know, when it came to the sister and the boyfriend, they were putting that all over the news like it was
definitely
nothing.
And the sister had it messed up because she thought, okay, these people love us, we're in the papers all the time, they're supportive of our love. But even the boyfriend, Mr. Peter, you know, he's where was he away and watching this footage of his girlfriend act a fool,
yes.
loving it, even though, you know, she's professing her love for him. You know, she's letting
he liked
him,
being a part like
a little bit, but at the same time, I guess because he's been banished now, he's like, okay, Margaret, you need
stop
to calm
it because
down.
You're the reason I'm here.
Right.
You're the reason I got sent away in episode 6.
Right. Exactly.
So,
and they still had 2 years to go. Like, it was the beginning of this banishment. So, you know, he didn't want her to mess things up even further.
Definitely didn't. I mean, he's away from everything he loved, too.
Yeah.
Which is England itself. And
definitely.
He's not even allowed in England. So we see something about Queen Elizabeth is she's willing to do whatever it takes to get the job done. She now becomes this prim and proper person all the way.
Right.
Because until now, I feel like she was just like this young lady, young girl growing. But now she's a woman.
Right.
She's grown. She is in command. And the only thing I don't think she has command of fully is her husband.
Well, it's like, it's like maybe she doesn't deal with her small children because Philip is like one big child that she has to handle all the time.
Wow.
And she has to constantly make sure he's happy. She has to, you know, go down on him when he's asking for it.
No, she wanted to.
No,
I saw the
mean,
little lust in her.
He had to
I know,
ask,
but he
though.
Asked, but
it
the
wasn't
way,
the first
no,
thing on her list of things
hinted,
to do today.
No, I think it was because she hinted. She's like, then what do you want me to do? Like, she knew what it was.
Yeah,
she knew
but,
what it was.
I mean,
don't
she,
do that.
It's,
girls
it's her,
know their
way,
womenly wiles.
But it's her way of managing him, you know, and man, it's he's another thing on her on her list that she has to manage.
It's a chore. But, it's definitely a chore. And Philip has become a big part of that chore.
So here it is. She has to manage her mother, who's decided to just go off. Her sister, who's, you know, making a mockery of her duties. What I found interesting was that I love seeing Margaret's personality. I thought it was great in contrast to Elizabeth's. And I think the partygoers enjoyed it, too, because it allowed everyone
to... They were happy.
Yeah, they were having a good time. But then in the grand scheme of things, I think that's the thing. Margaret forgets. Margaret is selfish. She's only thinking about herself and how things affect her. And Elizabeth is always thinking
big picture. Even in the decisions she makes, they're selfish decisions. She's just like, unlike Elizabeth, who does conform to tradition after being told, Margaret goes, okay, but I don't care. So we're going to do it this way because this is how I want to do it.
Right. And Margaret keeps on saying they're not here to see, if they're here to see me. And she failed to realize, okay, it's not the Margaret show. It's the royal show. And you have to think big picture. But what I really found interesting is just that how the mom, Queen Mother, just the fact that we see her leave and find herself. I really found that interesting. What did you think
liked
about
her? You liked this, like, because I didn't, sisterhood, traveling pants, ya-ya sisterhood.
Sisterhood of the traveling
crown. You really
liked
this stuff.
I did, because I like to see opportunities for women to show different sides of themselves. And here's this older, you know, an older woman who has lived a life, and she thought her life was going to go one way, and then suddenly something changes and she has to figure out what she's going to do moving forward. And I loved how she was summoned at the end because she was still needed. And again, it showed you, okay, Margaret's having fun and the people may love her, but at the end of the day, we need someone who understands how this game is played.
Well, it's interesting that that's what you saw in that episode as much, because what I was actually interested is how much land and how much England was still in charge of, and you know, all these cities.
And how excited everyone was to see the queen.
Excited, not everywhere, because Gibraltar, the concept was there was a revolt and they were, how dangerous it was. And I was actually shocked how much they didn't show. I was actually shocked in this. I mean, I'm sure they were time constrained and everything, but they didn't show the revolts. And at this time,
I think that's because we know we can get that, you know, that in historical footage, we can research that and find out what happened. I think
I think it was just because they didn't want to show Queen Elizabeth in a bad light, because a lot of bad things were being said and doing and happening. And, you know, they didn't get all these places just because they gave themselves up.
Yeah, they weren't nice people.
This is manifest destiny. This is colonization. This is all those things that this series hasn't really addressed.
Well, that's because, again, we can get
that. We didn't see it. We didn't see it.
But we have mention of it. So if you want to look into it further, there was someone on Twitter who said after they watch an episode, it's like they're Googling, you know, historical information, which I think is a great thing about the show, because for people who don't know the history of behind these situations, they go ahead and they research on their own. But I think the creators wanted to keep it focused on what was going on inside the home and Buckingham Palace, and but inside what was going on with the queen herself.
Well, okay. So for those at home who are watching, we'd love to hear your comments. Please write down below. We do know this is based on history, but it's still a TV show. It's still a Netflix show. So I love containing the conversation to the TV show on our show. But when it comes to the comments, we love hearing the historical facts and putting things into perspective. So thank you for commenting about the truth, but don't attack us for it. Let us know and teach us, because we love learning.
Yeah.
And in that aspect, I'd love to ask you your predictions for next week, which is our final week of watching The Crown, because we're doing the last two episodes.
I think that we're finally going to...
And now, you're After Buzz TV. Predictions.
Ooh! What are your predictions? What does the crystal ball say?
I think we're going to be left with some cliffhangers, because the show has been so popular that Netflix has already ordered more seasons.
Oh, okay.
So several more seasons, and they put a lot of money into this. So they're not going to just end it on a, you know, like, that's it. They're going to give us something more. So we're going to see definitely something with Queen Elizabeth and her husband, where, you know, more of a conflict between them is my prediction. Hopefully we see her sister and she getting along a little bit better, and I want to see more of the kids, like, you know, where are they at? What's going on in the children's lives?
Well, I don't think it's going to be a cliffhanger, because I don't think they knew they were going to get a season two or three. And so they're just going to end it at a point in history where it makes sense. And I wonder if in season two or three, we'll get a different Elizabeth actress, because she has to get older at some point.
Definitely.
Like, at some point, she's been the same age for all 20 years or however long this episode is going right now, right?
Right.
So this, like, I think it's about 7 years, maybe
something like that,
right? Seven years to a decade of everything that's going on, because we do know coming off World War II,
right?
And we do know Eisenhower's president, and so we're moving in. So
right, I do remember reading that every season is going to be another decade.
A decade. Mm-hmm. So there we go. So I'm like, I feel like we're at like year 5 or 6, maybe 7 at the most. I don't know if it's going to be a cliffhanger. I do think that Philip and her are going to have some type of resolution,
right?
Whether it's a good one or a bad one, I don't know yet. But I do think that that's going to come to an head. And finally, I do think that we're going to see Queen Mother, and something has to happen to her, because I don't think she's still alive. I feel like her death might change something if she does die. But I don't know. I haven't read ahead. I don't actually know.
I don't know either. But I do know that I was happy to see, was it Margaret? No, it was Elizabeth stopped Philip from smoking. Finally.
Finally, someone says no more smoking.
They know that smoking is bad, that it causes cancer. So that made me feel at ease. I think also, are we going to see Winston pass away finally?
I don't know. I mean, Winston, look, as far as I know right now, Winston Churchill is a freaking vampire.
He's a cat. He has 9 lives.
He was old when she was young. Right? Now she's getting older and he's still the same age. So I don't know, but I do really like, what's the actor's name that plays him? That plays Winston Churchill. Why do none of us know his name?
No, we never know actors' names. It's Claire Foy who plays Elizabeth, Matt Smith who plays Philip, and John Lithgow.
John Lithgow, there you go. And I only know him because he was in that one Santa Claus movie.
He was in Third Rock from the Sun, and
sure,
he was amazing.
Sure, but to me, it was when I was growing up, he was in Santa Claus movie where they needed the little sprinkle stuff so the stuff could fly. And I'm never going to forget that, John Lithgow. That's your best acting role to date.
No.
My name is Tehran, at I Am Tehran. Please find me all across the gram, the tweet, any social media, Snapchat. I'm so live, and I'm with
Sahai. You can find me on Instagram, Twitter, and Snapchat at Say Hi Sahai. That's SayHiTsahai. And please, more comments. We love the love. We appreciate you for watching, and stay tuned until next week.
Make sure to watch us next week, because we don't know what's going to happen.
Our finale
Maybe Angela's
episode.
Back or not. We hope you get better, Angela. Thank you for watching each and every week, the After Buzz After Show of The Crown. Check us out next week. We'll be back.
From executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
Buzz you later. I can't believe I said that.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.